Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Ketchikan community members are pushing back against the planned construction of a hillside market downtown. Their objection is tied to two carved poles, which the property owner plans to use as decoration around his shops. They resemble traditional totem poles, but were sourced from a man in Minnesota with a checkered past. KRBD's Michael Finelli has the story.
Several dozen people gathered on a rainy Sunday across the street from a coned-off property, holding signs saying no fake totem poles and protect indigenous artists. They faced a small construction vehicle sitting atop a pile of rubble, spilling onto two carved wooden poles. Leaders from a number of Native groups turned out, including Rob Sanderson, a vice president of the Central Council of the Thlinkit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska.
You know, the bottom line is that our people have come too far, too long to get to where we're at.
Sanderson gestures over to the poles lying on the ground while addressing the crowd.
When I look at these poles, that's a slap to the face of our local artists here in Ketchikan and abroad.
At first glance, the poles resemble the art forms carved by Northwest Coast indigenous artists for thousands of years. But in an interview with the Ketchikan Daily News, owner Joseph Machini said that he bought the poles from a non-native Minnesota man in 2008. And in a bizarre twist, that Minnesota carver was later charged with murdering his wife with one of the 700-pound poles they crafted together. He eventually pleaded guilty to unintentional murder in that case. Machini acknowledged that unfortunate history to the Daily News and explained that he had sought poles from out-of-state suppliers because he wanted something done quickly and, quote, the Indians here were very busy, unquote. Machini plans to have the imitation poles adorn five small kiosk shops where he will sell local arts and crafts. Back at the protest, Willard Jackson shares a story about respect before leading a song.
Respect. This man doesn't got any respect. He has no right to do that.
No, he
it's time we stand up and move forward as Native people. This is our land. It lives in our heart.
Yes. Well. Woo!
Hoo-hey-ya, hey-ya, ha.
Machini's property sits directly across from one of Ketchikan's cruise ship docks, and a number of disembarking tourists stop to watch the protest. Ketchikan Indian Community President Norm Scan says that this demonstration is just the beginning.
Because really, I always say somebody from Iowa getting off one of these cruise ships is not going to know the difference, but we know.
Scan says he appreciates the business idea of creating spaces to sell local goods, but the imported poles are a different story.
We don't want these fake poles here made by a non-native person in Minnesota brought to our community and put up in Thlinkit land. I'm surprised that our local politicians would put up with that.
In fact, one local politician did raise the issue at a Ketchikan City Council meeting days before the protest. Vice Mayor Janely Gage addressed her fellow council members during the citizen comment section.
If we allow these poles to be raised, we will be no better than the individual who thought bringing those poles here that were carved by a non-native from Minnesota was okay. This is appropriation at its finest.
Gage cited the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, which prohibits the sale of products that are falsely marketed as being produced by Native artists.
The owner may not be selling these poles, but he is selling an idea to those unsuspecting visitors and our locals that get off the ships who will think these are real Native art.
Gage requested a future agenda item to discuss what can be done. City Manager Delilah Walsh has been looking into what potential regulation might look like to share with the council. When it comes to the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, though, Walsh says the law is really only aimed at fake items that are displayed for sale, whereas the Minnesotan poles are simply decorative. As far as what city management can do to intervene, Walsh says their authority is limited to building codes. The city actually filed a lawsuit against Machini in 2015 for failing to remove the burned-down structure of a building he owned on the same tunnel-adjacent property. But Walsh says that wasn't considered in approving his current building permit.
Simply because building code does not talk about prior performance, and so code doesn't say if you were a you had a bad relationship or interaction in the city in the past. That's not something that would be considered.
The city council will consider their regulatory authority over the imitation polls at their next meeting on May 16th. Walsh says they could try to enact new regulations, but that may be difficult due to the First Amendment rights of private property owners. In Ketchikan, I'm Michael Finelli.
Every May, Petersburg celebrates its Norwegian heritage with a week of traditional Norwegian dancing, food, community events, and Vikings dressed in furs. The event is always held around May 17th, Norway's Constitution Day. KFSK's Hannah Flohr takes a look at what's planned this year.
It's an unexpectedly sunny day, and the youngest Norwegian dancers have taken their practice outdoors. They're getting ready for the upcoming Little Norway Festival. Petersburg was founded by Norwegian Peter Bushmen in the late 1800s, but it wasn't until the late 1950s that the Little Norway Festival was born. Glorianne Wollen is a longtime member of the Sons of Norway in Petersburg.
Dutch Durr, he was the president of the Chamber of Commerce for the state of Alaska. He came to town and he said, "You have something special here and you should really promote that." And that's where it grew from and continues to grow and morph.
The festival has changed and grown substantially over the years, but the Norwegian dancers are a fixture. Visitors will see kids of all ages running around in traditional Norwegian clothes or bunads. They'll also see Vikings and Valkyries, replete with horned helmets and cleavage and furs. The crew pretends to wreak havoc on the town. They drink from horned cups and goblets and steins. They pile into a short bus with music blasting. What happens on that bus stays on that bus. But the festival isn't all partying. Each year, a member of the community wins the Norwegian American Award. The award celebrates someone for their dedicated service to the community. And no, the winner doesn't have to be Norwegian. Last year, an Irishman won. Chamber of Commerce event director Mindy Lopez says this year might be the biggest yet. There are 75 booths signed up. They'll sell arts and crafts and food along the downtown sidewalks. And there are new events. One, Lopez says, is the fish holding contest.
Whoever can hold the fish the longest is the grand winner, and they win $100 as well as they get to take the fish home if they win it.
I'm sorry, live or dead?
That's what we said too. I hope it's dead, but it could be fun if it's alive.
I confirmed the fish will be dead. Competitors will try to hold a halibut out in front of them above shoulder height for as long as possible. Money from the entry fees goes to the Petersburg Humane Association. Festival events started Saturday the 11th with the chance to explore nearby Kupernov Island, free boat ride included. But the festival really gets going Thursday. There's a pageant on Main Street at 5 p.m. That's when the Norwegian dancers perform in their bunads, and the winner of the Norwegian American of the Year is announced. Afterward, it's time for drag camp. That's Norwegian for tug of war. After the drag camp winners are presented with their engraved goblet prizes, it's time for the festival street dance. Burrell says this year the music will come courtesy of a 7-piece band from Seattle called the Stax Brothers.
They're not brothers. I don't think any of them are actually related, if we're going to be honest.
They're just
but
brothers.
They are related to Bert.
That's Alaska Senator Bert Stedman. He's the lead singer's cousin. In the official Little Norway Festival schedule, the band is described as, quote, drenched in soul, baptized by funk, with instinct that is pure rock and roll, unquote. If that's not your idea of fun, there are lots of other options. You can learn to bake traditional Norwegian treats or check out the Scandinavian style show. If you missed that, there's also a dog fashion show. There's a kids' fishing derby, a softball tournament, a grocery cart race, multiple art shows, and multiple beer gardens. And there's the herring toss, just as messy as an egg toss, but stinkier. And you're supposed to kiss the herring for good luck. Shortly afterward, you can paw through a giant trough of shrimp at a free shrimp feed hosted by the Vikings. No, there won't be any plates available. Back at the Sons of Norway, the dancers have finished their practice. Now it's time to get their bunads.
Do you have tights and shoes?
8-year-old Blair Phillips tries a bunad with tapestry trim. Once it's on, the reality that she'll be dancing in front of a lot of people sets in.
I feel excited, a little bit nervous.
Little by little, the chaos subsides as the kids leave with bunads clutched in plastic bags and strict instructions to arrive early for the pageant. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 48 degrees and cloudy. There's a chance of some more rain tonight, but it may stay dry. Tomorrow looks like it might be sunny with a high of 56. This is KTOO.